like to welcome everybody to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church this morning on this beautiful, beautiful day. I'm loving the weather and the reprieve from the heat. So, and soon we'll be saying, oh, where is that heat? So anyway, let's take just a few minutes. Everybody get up, greet each other. Do we have any visitors before we... I think everybody's a familiar face, but let's take just a few minutes and welcome. Does anybody have any announcements this morning? We have several in the bulletin.
Can I remind everybody about the next in a series of classical concerts? French concerts will be performed both Friday and Saturday, but I believe that the plan is the refreshments are only going to be there on Saturday. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, they will be there, but maybe both nights. I know, everybody else jumped up. That's okay. But some people couldn't make it on Saturday last time, so we thought we'd open up for Friday and Saturday.
For ever since I got back to Columbia in January, we had a judge out in the narthex for furnishing a room at the nursing home there in South America. Thanks to some rather generous donations, we're about halfway to our goal of $1,500. I tried to figure it out the other day, and if each person that attended Sunday worship would put a quarter in those jugs, just on Sunday, not a day, just a quarter on Sunday, we would reach our goal by the end of the year. Now that's about 4 months, about 16 Sundays. So if you want to go ahead and just put $4 or $5 in there, that'll be okay. If you want to write a check for $200 or $300 or $1,000, that'll be okay. But we could reach that goal with a quarter per person in attendance each Sunday. So this is the 16th week of the land. We might be 17 counting on this Sunday. I'm not sure. But that's all it would take to reach our goal. So I appreciate anybody who drops some change in the book. Loose change, that's the way we started advertising it. Just drop your loose change in the boat. You know that I've got 40 cents in my own form. Thank you.
Wanted to let everybody know on September 6th will be the Nolensville Broken Wheel Festival. It's held up here at the Nolensville Rec Center. The Dornans will be there with barbecue, and the youth will be selling snow cones and soft drinks as a fundraiser. So please come out and support that. That morning we start with the 5K, and actually one of our own people here, ladies, won it last year. So anybody wants to participate in 5K that morning, and we also have a pet parade, and that's lots of fun. So bring your doggies and let them show their stuff. So I just want to mention that. And then, Sonia, do you want to say anything about the carnival for kids? Any other announcements?
Next Sunday, we will have a congregational meeting for the purpose of hearing and acting on a resignation from the Board of Elders or the session. Some people call it Board of Elders, and I can call it that. From the session of Larry Barnes. Larry chooses not to continue to serve as an elder. So he is an active elder, and so he's offered a resignation. The congregation elected him, so the congregation must hear that and act upon it. I think it's really a matter of housekeeping, but that's the way the book is written, and that's what we're trying to go about. Thank you.
For those of you who have needs in nursery, and my wife is a nursery, so you don't need to see her at church. But the nursery is going to be moving from its present location back to the new Mother Day Out baby room, which is in the Sunday School section off the gym. It's a much nicer, bigger room, and we put a brand new bathroom in there. And it's just going to be a lot nicer for the nursery. Plus, it's going to give more space to that room where the nursery is now for the Mother Day Out kids when they're in there during the week. So, make note of that. The nursery is moving. You go back there next week and nobody's in there, they'll say, uh oh, I remember that move.
We are
going to
have meetings tonight at 5 o'clock here. And if there's a good reminder, I want you to know it started at the last Tuesday, and we had 58 people in the month.
Hear that. Hear what they.
Okay. You'll see the, in your bulletin, too, where if you plan to come on Wednesday night for dinner, and I think the ticket was on you, please.
Unless it changes.
Unless it changes. Subject to change. But please be sure and, you know, complete that and drop it in the offering plate so that they can plan accordingly. I know it's always difficult to have the right amount of food if people don't let you know that you're coming. So that would be appreciated. Any prayer or praise requests?
Thank you, Donna. Your mother is back in the hospital. Eunice Bradley, Jerry Woodley, a neighbor on Sunset Road, passed away. So pray for his family. I think about four brothers. I'm not sure of it. All the members of the family, who you may know, have grown up here. It's three brothers and Mason's sister. His mother is still in, etc. Teenage children.
A friend of mine lived in Estuary was looking for work, and I put him on the prayer list Wednesday night, and then we found out his mother had a very bad accident later that night. She is, however, still alive. He's assisted to recuperate, so maybe this is all part of the plan that Evan not have a job here. Who knows? She's a desired person. So just want to put the whole Estuary family, Evan and three of his parents, on the prayer list.
Let's add Pam to the prayer list. Anybody else?
I think Nancy is recuperating from surgery, Becky Leonard, and having some ups and downs, so keep her on the prayer list. And she welcomed into our home Alice Share, whatever the black name is, from Russia, who's been here before. So I will help to see him when he got here safely.
Well, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Gathering words this morning come from Psalm chapter 105, verses 1 through 5 and 7. It is responsive, so if you'd please follow along in your bulletin. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name.
Make known among the nations what He has done.
Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wonderful acts.
Glory in His holy name.
Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Look to the Lord in His strength. Seek His face always.
Remember the wonders He has done. His miracles
and his
judgments he pronounced.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth.
Let's stand during the hymn 499. As we are standing, you may have a bulletin with some creases in it. We have a new folding machine that had a couple of little glitches this week. I think we got the problem straightened out, so we'll see how it does next week.
Sunshine, we thank you for the physical sunshine that shines upon us. But Lord, we thank you for the sunlight that comes from your Son, Jesus. Thank you that that light has shined upon us to darken the way, to brighten the dark way that so many travel and we once traveled. Lord, we come this morning knowing that everybody, this day, even this bright, beautiful morning, is everybody is not basking in the sunshine of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that as we have come together to worship Him and to worship You and to bring glory and honor to Your name, that You would so move in our lives, Lord, that we would not be selfish with the sunshine of Jesus, that we would be prepared, encouraged, motivated to go out and share it. Thank you for Jesus. And Lord, thank you that we can sing of sunshine for the soul. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me as we state the Apostles' Creed. It's in your hymnal, number 716, or you may follow along on the screen.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Our prayer of confession, it is in unison, if you would please join me. Holy God, we come to you remembering your wonderful miracles, and fearing your awesome judgment. We are wholly dependent on your grace and your nurturing faith. We try, then fail. Seek, then forget. Hope, then lose sight of your love for us. Forgive our hesitation, skepticism, and despair. Help us remove stumbling blocks placed in our path. Strengthen us for the journey toward faith, hope, love, that we may act for goodness in all we do. We are your loving children. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. Just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For justice through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous.
Pray your hymn of baptism, please. 345. Blessed assurance. The Lord has been alive. The Lord has been alive. The Lord has been alive. And salvation. Thank you.
offertory sentence this morning. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Would our ushers please come forward? Yes, ushers, please.
on high, with Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God. One with Himself I cannot die. My soul is purchased by His blood. My life is hid with Christ on high. With Christ my Savior and my God. With Christ my Savior and my God.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come onto the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus, a storm, a miracle. And faith. Two weeks ago, I attempted to preach concerning the kingdom of God. What the kingdom is like, using the parables that Jesus had used and told to tell us what the kingdom is like. A portion of those parables in Matthew chapter 13. Last week we talked about and encouraged you, the congregation, about bringing people into the kingdom today and next week, if all goes well. Today, I call your attention to the King of the kingdom. The King over the kingdom. King Jesus. Jesus. It's kind of easy for the church to push Jesus aside. It's easy for the church to get wrapped up in ministry and program, supposedly for Jesus, but push him aside or forget about it. You remember Brother Harris, when he was living and attending church, he would remind us most every Sunday morning
at the 10:15 service, don't forget to invite Jesus or don't forget to welcome Jesus. And let's never forget that it's Jesus that the church is about. It's His church. And without Jesus, we wouldn't have a church. We wouldn't be here. We'd be somewhere else. We might not even be. Except at least we would not be what we are today and who we are today. Jesus. Think about Jesus for a moment. If you need be, if it need, it will help you close your eyes and reflect on Jesus. You might look at one of the windows, an artist's rendering of Jesus. Let's just think about Jesus. To think about Jesus this morning, and I know that was a short time, but time does catch up. But to think about Jesus this morning, or in thinking about Jesus, just call your attention to one of the miracles of Jesus. There were many miracles that Jesus performed. I don't understand miracles, but somewhere along the way, well, I'm not sure that I didn't start out believing, if I read it, that Jesus did it, or some other servant of God, I would believe it was as written. Some people have tried to explain this miracle of Jesus walking on water and kind of explain it away. But all I can say is that's their problem. I don't have a problem believing that it happened as it is written. Jesus walking on the water. It's in Matthew 14, but it's also in Mark chapter 6 and in John chapter 6. I wonder this morning, have any of us had the experience of walking on water? Some of you may have been able to ski with bare feet. Anybody have done, any of you done that? Trying to get it right. Say it. But you got to be moving pretty rapidly for that to happen. And I hear people talking about it. I'm not a water person, so of course I haven't done that. But have you had the experience or known anybody who has walked on water? And if you have, I will stop right here and hear your story about it, because that would be something to talk about. Somebody who has had that experience or saw somebody having that experience. If we think about the miracles and Jesus being King of the kingdom that we are a part of and hope to really be a part of, fully and wholly and all the way, so to speak, in that next life. I see miracles as being part of Jesus' work. And somewhere along the way, I remember talking about, learning about, even preaching about the person and work of Jesus. Next week, I hope to talk about the person of Jesus. But today, the work of Jesus. The activity of Jesus. What Jesus did. The Bible records this miracle, but many more miracles. Not only miracles of Jesus, some of the prophets performed miracles. Elijah and Elisha. I'm not trying to prove that it happened. My belief, and it may be real simple in your thinking, but my belief is that it did. According to John's Gospel, John chapter 6, as you read about Jesus walking on water, you see right before this happened, He had fed the 5,000. 5,000 people who came to hear Him preach, they were hungry, they didn't have any provisions for food, and Jesus provided for them some food to eat. A meal of fish and bread. And I can see the people now thinking, we have arrived. This is where we should have been a long time ago. Food every day. It's necessary. It wasn't fancy, we don't think. Fish and bread, I like it. We had fish and bread and French fries and pickles and other stuff. Thursday night at a meeting I was at. Lewis was there. It was good. We have no record of having the pickles or the coleslaw or the potato salad or anything like that. Not even the French fries, just fish and bread. But it would sustain us. You know, the 5-course meal may be a thing of only the first world countries. Some people, if they have one course, they consider themselves blessed. They can survive another day. Maybe just some rice. But they had a 2-course meal at least, fish and bread. And they ate and they were filled, and they didn't start with much, but in some miraculous way, there was a lot left over. And the people wanted to make Jesus king. They saw in him a person who could lead them in overthrowing the Roman oppressors, invaders, occupiers. The Romans were in charge, and they thought, well, if we could get rid of the Romans, this is the one that can do it. Through the years, we've seen a person in politics do something great, and we say, he ought to be president. About 2 years later, we say, well, we're glad he did become president. Through my years, I've thought that, and some of the people that I thought really were material for leaders, we find out later that they were not. Jesus was the leader, but a leader in a different way than the people thought. They wanted to make him earthly king of an earthly kingdom. And Jesus insisted that he was not here to be the king of an earthly kingdom that was limited to the earth. So they wanted to take him and by force usher him into a position of responsibility. He would have none of it. One theologian even goes so far as to say that he sent the disciples away so that they would not get caught up in the thought of him ascending a throne. And we study a little bit about Judas Iscariot. He would have probably, and I said probably, been the leader in saying Jesus needs to be on a throne. He needs to be our political leader. So Jesus, this theologian says, that's the reason Jesus sent them away. He didn't want the disciples to get all mixed up in an earthly kingdom. He wanted a heavenly kingdom. He wanted to be king of people's hearts. He wanted to be their savior for eternity. Not just for this life. So he would have none of being ushered into the kingship of this earth. He sent the disciples away and he slipped away to the mountain, or went away to the mountain to pray. Whatever the reason he sent them away, he did. He sent them away into their boat to go across the Sea of Galilee. And he went to be alone with God, to commune with the Heavenly Father. He went to pray. sometime about or sometime after 3 a.m., between 3 and 6 a.m., or during the fourth watch of the night, as a storm tossed the boat that the disciples were in, they were in distress. The storm was there. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. Came to them walking on the water. Jesus to the rescue. Is that being disrespectful? I hope it's not. Because He has come to rescue us from Satan. Jesus to the rescue. I don't mean it disrespectfully. I'm just thankful that He came to rescue us, to redeem us, to jerk us, if you will, from Satan's clutches, to forgive our sin that separates us from God and from heaven, and wipes our slate clean. We stand holy and pure before God through our faith in Jesus and what He did on the cross. But you might notice here that even when Jesus sent the disciples out, and even when He sends us out to do a job, it's not always smooth sailing. It's not always smooth sailing. Even when He sends us out, there are storms to face. Since you became a Christian, has everything been real smooth? It has not. And there'll be other tough days. The promise is that He will get us through the storms of life. And it may be that we won't get through in this life, but He has a promise to save our physical lives. He's promised to save us spiritually, or we refer to it as our soul, eternally. Jesus sends us out, and sometimes He sends us into the storm, and it may be He sends us to be His witness right in the midst of the storm. I went to a church as part of a committee to help the church through the storm, and before we got through, they said, "Y'all don't come back, you caused the storm." Or it was worse when you left than it was when you got here. We thought we had prayed up, and we think we still we had. They just didn't want to accept it. But sometimes there are storms that we have to deal with. And they said, they even asked, "Would you please send so and so?" So we did, and let him go deal with the storm. And part of his responsibility as a presbyter, a minister in the presbytery, he agreed to go and help his church through that storm in their life. And we think it's all coming together. Pray for that unnamed church. Jesus comes to us in the storms of life as He came to the disciples. It has been suggested that from His vantage point on the mountain, where He was praying, that He could see the disciples at sea. The mountain, the sea, I think somebody said 600 and something feet below sea level, but He could look down on them, and it was a moonlit night, or the moonlit time of the season, somebody figured that out, and He could see the distress that the disciples were in, and He had sent them there. Get in the boat and go across the sea. I'll meet you later. I'm going off to pray. And He saw that they were frightened because of the storm. Whatever the specific reason, Jesus came to the disciples. He had communed with God. It was time for Him to go back and minister to these disciples. And is not that the way He always is? If we learn about His person and we learn about His Word, we see that being the person that He is, the Christ, the Son of the living God, He comes to us bringing God's peace to us when we're facing the storm. The disciples, they were on the sea. He sent them out. He didn't prevent them from experiencing a storm, but He came to them
to give them blessings.
He comes in our distress. He comes to help us. He comes to our rescue,
whatever the storm is.
And even when we get in trouble of our own doing,
they were in trouble because He had sent them. Not that He intended them to be in trouble, but He had sent them out and the storm was there. But when we get in trouble of our own doing, and more times than not, we get in trouble by our own doing, right?
And then ask Jesus to rescue us. Just thinking back, there are signposts in my life where I've been in trouble and I've said, Lord, get me out of this. I did it. I'm sorry. Get me out of this. And some of them happened 40 plus years ago, but they're still very vivid. I had to go and say, Lord, I made a mistake in a business deal. Get me out of this. And He has. He's gotten me through or out of those. The problem is, when Jesus comes to our rescue, we may not recognize that it's Jesus coming. We may get more fearful when He starts to warn us. They thought that He was a ghost. Seeing His form coming to them, seeing His form coming to them on the water, they cried out in fear. Fellows, it's a ghost. What are we going to do? Jesus heard their cry and told them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. And here we have Peter's experience. Here we have Peter's experience. Peter said, but Lord, boy, He changed so quickly. It's what little we know just from reading the scripture about the Apostle Peter. He could change in a moment. I like Andy Griffith. Y'all like to watch the old Andy Griffith? But Barney, he can change so quickly from being down and out, and one word can be said, and he can change to the, in his mind, the strongest man in the world and can do anything. Well, we know he can't because he'll be in a mess again. But the Apostle Peter, fearful, we're going to drown, Lord. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, it's me. And Peter says, okay, Lord. He changes so quickly. He says, Lord, if it's You, You tell me to come to You, and I'll come and walk on water too. And Jesus says, well, come, Peter. And Peter steps out of the boat. Wow. He got brave there for a moment, didn't he? Faith. He expressed his faith. But then he had to have another miracle because his faith was so shallow. His faith was so shallow. And he was so changeable. And he was so adjusted by the situation of the surroundings. And he looked, somehow the storm, I guess the storm was raging. And he stepped out of the boat. And he was so brave because it was Jesus. But he had time to think. And sometimes it's not always good to think. Maybe it is. But look at Peter's experience. He had time to see. Somehow that wind caught his eye. Those waves caught his eye. And he became afraid. And he began to sink. We see Jesus. We see storm. We see a miracle. We see faith. And then we see faith going away. But then we see trust. And Jesus reached out His hand. Jesus reached out His hand and took Jesus' hand. I wonder, was Peter really serious when he said, Lord, if it's You, I'll come to You? Or was he saying, that's not really the Lord? Or was he expressing doubt by his response that, Lord, if it's really You, I will come? Whenever he stepped out of the boat. But then his faith faltered right in the middle of a time where his faith needed to be strong. No hesitation.
bold, trusting. And then he let the wind get his attention. The boldness did not last. His eyes were diverted from Jesus. And he began to sing. But Jesus saved him. Maybe Peter needed that to teach him a lesson. It teaches us a lesson anyway. Jesus reached out his hand and called Peter. He saved him from physical death, and he saves him from spiritual death. And then they climbed into the boat, Jesus and Peter with the rest of the disciples, and the wind died down, and those in the boat worshipped Jesus. And they said of Jesus, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Truly, you are the Son of God. So in this we see Jesus, a miracle worker, a comforter, mighty God, controls the winds and the waves. We see him worshiped. We see him as Savior. Who is Jesus in your life? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning for Jesus, who doesn't protect us from the storms of life, but he helps us through every one. He comes to our rescue, and he did it all back on Calvary, rescuing us from sin. But he hasn't just left us out here to fend for ourselves. Your Spirit, oh God, the Spirit of Jesus, abides with us. And we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that this Jesus is your Son and our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that through him you call us to faith and salvation. And in his name, in the name of Jesus, we offer our prayer and commit this message. Amen. And amen. Let's stand together and sing 375, Jesus Calls Us. And I don't know how he is calling you today. It may be to step out of the boat for some task that he has for you to do. It may be that he is calling you to full-time Christian service, the ministry, or some other aspect, missionary work. It may be that he is calling you to salvation. And I'm certain that he is calling you to salvation if you have never trusted him as your Savior. Would you respond publicly or privately as we sing? Forth, trusting in you, thanking you that you help us carry us through every storm. In Jesus' name, your holy name. Amen.
Like to print that, use it for your profit. It's not going to look good.
Yeah.
So why care?
Yeah.
Some system.
Special music today.
there for people to come in and replace them. We wonder if it was 10, 5 minutes to 10, if it was just 5 minutes.
Virginia, no.